Welcome back to the Christian discernment class, and the last time was interesting about worldview discernment. Today we talk about relationship discernment.
All right.
So,
how do we do that? What is the process, Henry?
Well, we all relate to a lot of people.
Right.
And a lot of this is first and second natured, you know, where you're in a process, you automatically are doing the things we're going to talk about.
Right, right.
But sometimes when discernment comes, you really want to know the process of maybe you want to marry somebody.
Right.
Maybe you would like to, maybe there's a conflict, you want to kind of say, you know, what's going on here? I feel like I am disquieted within me about
right.
a relationship.
Right.
So then there's a process that you kind of say, I can go to this process and try to figure out some things to come to some conclusions
right.
through prayer and the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Right. So first of all, we identify the relationship issue.
Okay.
What is this? Is this a problem? Is this a conflict? Is this, sometimes husband and wife, are giving each other the silent treatment
yes,
because
yeah.
of something?
Right.
Or is a conflict at your workplace? Or maybe it's a misunderstanding? Or
right.
maybe it's a new friendship that you want to make?
Right.
Or
a child issue?
Yeah, a connection with your children.
Yeah, or your decision about elderly parents. I mean, there's so many issues.
Yeah.
A lot of times I find that where are the triggers to know when there is a relational issue? I often find it's like you grind about something and you can't go to sleep, or you wake up at 3 in the morning
yeah.
and all of a sudden you're thinking about something.
Or you're anxious.
You're anxious.
Or you're depressed.
Anxiety,
or you're angry. I mean, a lot of times,
right. yeah, God
just check your emotions and you will see that there's some thing going on.
Right. So what we're going to talk about now is a process. And I would even suggest to get a little whiteboard out or a piece of paper and take these points and write them out again, and then take the issue and see if you can answer sort of the question.
Yeah, and maybe try it out.
Try it out, yeah. Try it out yeah. with the relationship. So
okay.
let's look at them.
Okay.
So we talk about identify the issue. At least the best, ask the Holy Spirit to help
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Then identify the people
yeah.
involved.
Who? Yeah, is this just between me and my wife, or
is there some other factor, other people that maybe you didn't first think about, but they're involved in this?
Right.
I was often surprised in that how if you don't ask that question, you might miss the real issue
right.
or the real.
Right.
There maybe
right.
there's an instigator like Jonadab in the Bible that's involved, and it's not clear at first.
Right.
But if you really think about it, wait a minute, there might be somebody else involved
right.
in this.
Identify your own motivation.
Why do you think that's important?
I don't know. I think this is one of yours.
Well, I put that down because sometimes when you're not clear about your own motivation, it will shift the whole discernment process.
Okay.
Like you might be, here's an example, is like, let's say I want to go golfing.
Yeah.
And then I have an issue with my wife. This is sort of, and I don't know why we're sort of struggling about something.
I agree.
But it's also realized, I really want to go golfing. And you know what I find with Pam? I'll say, Pam, I think I want to go golfing. Oh, she said, good. Well, you know what? First, let's go to the store this time.
Right.
But if I don't identify that,
right.
there's like a little bit of a thing that's unaware that's a factor in the discussion.
Right.
But I didn't identify it.
Right. Or, I think it's easy in a relationship conflict to identify their motivation. They're trying to hurt
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're
yeah.
trying to take advantage
right.
of me. They're trying to ignore me.
Right.
And so we're consumed with the other person's motivation.
Right.
Not realizing our own.
Right.
And what you're saying, I think, is start with your own because
right.
you might be the source of
right. you might be the problem.
Right.
Well, and also, too, it's interesting, too, is self-interest and selfishness.
Yeah.
God wants us to love God and neighbor as ourselves. So there is, like, to be self-interested is itself
yeah.
not
yeah.
wrong, but selfishness, if all I ever wanted to do is yeah. go golfing and forget you, Pam,
right.
Now right. now my interest has moved on to a place,
right.
and that needs to be checked.
Right. So there's selfishness, where you're like, I'm going to do this for me, and I know I'm doing it.
Right.
And then there's the more subtle one called self-absorbedness.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's where I'm just absorbed with myself, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody because I'm not aware of anyone else. I'm not thinking of your needs or your situation.
So
I'm consumed with
self-interest, selfish, self-absorbed. So those are all important.
And things. I think this is where you start to identify your own motive, because I think selfishness you're aware of.
That's why you're being selfish. Right.
But self-absorbed, we're often not aware of. Unless we pause and ask this question.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right.
So write down the history. Now, again, in some levels, if it gets deeper, you would probably do this. Write down the history factors, possibilities. Yeah. Maybe if it's really serious, we've done whiteboarding family systems analysis where you're writing every motivation down. But in some ways, in your mind, if it's a small issue, you know the history of the situation.
But it's, I mean, you could be having an issue with your son, but it's because you had an issue with your father.
Yeah.
And now you've transferred some of those same things to your son.
Right.
So understanding where all this is coming from
is helpful.
It's like take a broader look.
Right.
Rather than just get lost in what's in front of you.
And we've often seen that as pastors, because we've talked about this in the past, where if you don't know where you're coming from, people just start reacting in the moment.
And
you miss out on the discernment process because of it.
Right. Identify any bitterness in all the parties involved.
Which is sort of the past a little bit.
Yep.
The same type of thing, but it's really drilling down.
Well, I think that bitterness, that's a good word, because it's someone coined the phrase a bitter root, like a tree.
Yeah, in
right?
the book of Hebrews.
And the root goes really deep. And so the longer you have an issue with someone, you know, you have an issue with someone, they did something, you're kind of angry, and then you solve it and it's done.
Right.
But when there's an issue and then it festers and it goes longer, that root grows deeper and stronger, and now it's not so easy to take out.
Right.
And so to understand whether this is just a temporary conflict that we can get over, or is this a bitter root that it's going to take some effort to get past this.
Right,
I mean, we could solve our little problem here, but I still have this bitterness that has been built up over years. And that's the problem a lot of times in a marriage or in a family system, where things have not been dealt with.
Right.
And then over time, this bitter root takes hold. And when there's a bitter root, everything they do is annoying.
Right.
Everything they say is, you know, you see it from the most negative point of view that you could possibly. I remember this lady in my church who was angry at one of the other board person, and finally she confessed it. She said, "Even when I come into the parking lot and I see your car, I get all tensed up and angry.
Right.
Just at your car."
Right.
So imagine that he says or does anything.
Right.
It's just going to keep going.
I find it fascinating in our kind of conflicting world right now. If you watch the news, like anything that politician has done is wrong.
Right, right.
You know, so you see there's a political discernment issue going on here, bitterness in that theater.
Right. Commit these things to prayer and notice any spiritual warfare issues.
You know, a lot of times behind the scenes there are warfare issues.
Yes.
And I know that when I pray about something, too, I'll even ask, Lord, show me if there's any principality or power involved in this.
Yep.
And I'm surprised that sometimes the Lord does, really. He's
right.
Like, you know what? Right there.
Right.
Let's pray about that.
Yeah, and a lot of times the resolution of it is through the Holy Spirit, that somehow we've had this conflict, and then in the middle of the process, all of a sudden there's a breakdown, and it's like something that was not on the table is put on the table, and some kind of incredible resolution happens. Identify scripture that will shed light on issues.
Hmm.
So, I think people don't often. A lot of times we study the Bible. Well, we're studying Galatians. We're studying Ephesians. But are we good at taking a problem or a situation and going, is there anything in this Bible that can help me?
Right. Like Galatians 6, if someone's caught in a sin, those who are spiritual should restore them gently, but be careful that you don't fall.
Right.
You know, that's an interesting way to think about that.
Right.
Like, but that's an example of Scripture. Or it's amazing how Scripture applies to so many things if we'll actually get a treasure chest of relational discernment verses.
Right. Now, there's, I think a lot of Christians, especially new Christians, just don't know how to do that. They don't know how to identify Scripture. They don't know where to even begin to look.
Right.
Like,
right.
How do you find these things?
Yeah.
So, you know, one way is, of course, to memorize Scripture, and then you have a bunch of them there.
Right,
and
there.
The more you study, the more you learn, the more it's available to you. But the other way is you can just look up words.
Yes.
Right? You can go to these online Bible apps, and you can search a
bitterness.
Word. Bitterness. And you will find, you know, 50 verses, and you can quickly, within 5 minutes, go through the entire Bible.
Forgiveness.
Boom.
Well, and as pastors, we over time memorize all these things and they just come out of our head.
Right.
As many of you are studying for ministry or growing in ministry, you will actually, you'll find these passages come there if you memorize them, search for them, write a sermon about one of them. It's very good.
Right. Ask the opinions of trustworthy Christian friends or ministers or life coaches and counselors.
Yeah. You know, I that cannot be said enough. I know, like, when I have a relational issue, or Steve does, we are really, we're long-time deep friends, and we've been around ministry together since 1990. I mean, one of my first phone calls is to Steve about a relational issue.
Right.
I right away think to myself, you know, I wonder what Steve thinks about this, or Brian DeCook. Again, first my wife. You know, you see, you process that, and then you have this whole network of people that help you with discernment.
Right. Because a lot of times in a relationship issue, we're blind.
Right.
We just don't see what the issue is. But people around us, it's obvious to them.
Yeah.
And so why not take advantage of the collective wisdom?
Right.
And that's really what the church is.
Right.
The church is a group of people with different gifts and abilities, for the benefit and building up of one another.
And that doesn't mean you have to take someone's advice or even
understand
that. But why not have that ability to discern with others a snapshot input into a discernment that you're trying to make?
Exactly. Develop some conclusions and action plans, remembering the prayer of serenity.
That's a good one. Remembering the prayer of serenity. Now, you've done a class on the prayer of serenity.
Yeah.
And a mini class. And, you know, the prayer of serenity, there's that one place, help me to change what I can change, or sort of like that.
Yeah.
How does that go?
And to leave what I can't, and to know the difference between what I can do something about and what I can't do something about.
Right.
And leaving, you know, some things you can do something about it, and you do it. Some things you can't, and you leave it to God.
Right.
And but the hard part is to know when you do what.
Right.
When do I just
That's
give it up to God?
That's discernment.
When do I do something about it?
Right.
And sometimes that isn't very easy. So, you know, the rule of thumb is you do what you can,
right?
And then, but then God can come to you and let you know one way or another. So a lot of times, you know, the added prayer that I would make to the prayer of serenity is, Lord, I'm going to go in this direction. If it's not the right direction, please let me know.
I know this powerful story of a family who was struggling with bitterness about an elderly parent. And a brother and a sister were in conflict over each other, and that Christian brother struggled greatly over this and sought my advice and input. And there was a moment near the death of that father that the sister came to visit out of town, and there was so much conflict. And it was while he was there, he actually, you know, he lost his countenance, and then the sister, who wasn't used to taking care of, called the brother to come over. The brother came over and changed the diaper, so to speak, of the old father. And the old father was complaining, and the brother had to get his clothes down to almost nothing while they were in the shower, and there was excrement all over. And when the brother came out of the bathroom, It was as if a miracle occurred. It was as if, you know, and you know, this prayer of serenity where God shows up. This brother could not do anything, but that moment, the scales fell off, and healing occurred.
Right.
And I happen to know that that brother and sister are now close to one another again.
Right.
Because it was about putting into prayer. And sometimes that's what happens in life, isn't it?
Right. That the resolution is some incredible thing that no one could have predicted.
Right, no one could have predicted.
And that's where, prayer is, Lord, I don't have it all figured out. And we don't have it all figured out. So we invite you to intervene.
Right.
And help us get through this.
Now, ask yourself how you can bless others and yourself in the issues.
Right. So, one of the best ways to heal relationships is to share the healing with others.
Right.
And, you just gave an example. That example inspires other people to do likewise with one another. So,
right.
And really, sometimes in the sharing, you get healed too.
Right. Just sharing brings...
Right.
So, now, what types of things might you do to find out in the discerning process?
So, we discern the relationship, the issue, the conflict, whatever it might be, but then what might we learn?
Well, in many cases, you might learn that, you're incompatible, things are not going to work.
Right.
Let's say you're asking about whether you should keep dating someone or...
Yeah.
But you just find out, we've gone through that process and it's not clear, it's not compatible.
Or a friend that, you had something and now something's broken. Sometimes friendships fall apart.
Yeah, they do. Or that friend, you're a new believer and that friend is going away from you. And you have to figure this out, let the unbeliever go.
Right.
And it is what it is.
Yes. Number two, you may identify some issues to address.
Okay. So is there a bitterness, a conflict?
Yeah. Is there just preferences? You like this, I like that, and now what are we going to do about it?
Right. Is it cultural? So, sometimes things are so cultural.
Yeah.
That it's like you can, but if you address it, you might be able to, really have a meaningful relationship.
Right. And cultural, I think marriage, a lot of times marriages have a lot of conflict because you come from different cultures.
Yeah.
And
different family cultures.
Right. And if you don't quite understand, my wife came to a party once, a Christmas party with all my relatives, my cousins, my aunts and uncles. And when we left, my wife was in tears.
Right.
She was in tears because my family is so loud.
Right.
And she thought some people were even angry at one another, and she's telling me all this, and I'm going, what?
Right.
What are you talking about? We just love to have a good time. Well, her family culture was quiet.
And I remember meeting her father, one of the most quiet men.
Mother. They were more subdued.
They're long gone now, but I remember young in our relationship.
Right.
Yeah, your family is loud.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Elephants in the room.
Sometimes those are the things that are difficult. And, when I was younger, I would say that I was one more to let the elephants in the room just be there. And they're sort of like they're there. No one talks about them. So you address that, you sideswipe them, passive-aggressive. And I find that true for you, too. I mean, you and I have turned to be pretty blunt old men.
Right.
We got here honestly, though.
Yeah, we might as well talk about the real thing, because otherwise it keeps festering.
Right.
A lot of times when people use sarcasm.
Right.
They're just going around the edge.
Right.
And they're not telling you what they really think. They're trying to soften it a little bit with a little sarcasm. Oh, I was just kidding. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You mean what you say, but you didn't want to get right into it.
Right.
And so sometimes
sarcasm, there's possibly an elephant in the room.
Yes.
What else are things that tells you there
might be an elephant? Well, I think the passive aggressive thing. Which is sort of like sarcasm.
Yeah, they're very much related. Yeah. Like sort of just a little swipe.
Yeah.
Like when people start talking behind backs, there's gossip.
There is an elephant in the room.
Yeah. You met with the person, you didn't talk about it, so you talk about it with someone else.
Right. Or you walk into a room and all of a sudden everybody goes silent.
Right.
And then everyone is talking about them. There is an elephant in the room.
Right.
And
so what is that phrase? Maybe some of you listening have never heard of the elephant in the room.
Oh, the elephant in the room. I don't really know.
Well, it's sort of like,
I didn't know what I mean.
If an elephant was in this room, it would like dominate the whole thing.
Oh yeah,
right?
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
But this phrase has come to mean there's this thing that dominates this whole culture here in this room.
Right.
But we don't talk about it, and it's sitting right there.
It's filling half the room. Right.
But we don't talk about it.
Right. Right. And I know, just knowing Steve and I over the years, I can assure you, and again, when you say this, then you'll leave an elephant in the room because how life goes sometimes. But but we're, you know, sometimes why do old people get grumpy? And I've analyzed that. And like my father, you know, he died at 99, and sometimes my kids will say, you know, Grandpa's a little grumpy today or something. And I was thinking about it, well, and I never really noticed it. And the reason I didn't notice it is as I got older, I appreciated how he called the elephants in the room.
Right.
Now, he almost went too far.
Yes.
Like, there's only too many. Okay, and when these are little elephants, Dad.
Yes.
Little elephants, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can see how you can get like that.
Right.
Like, if you're running or leading a church or running a business, and there are some things that are happening that are hurting ministry or productivity, eventually you become like, you know what? We just got to get everyone together and talk about this. I don't know if I'm ready. No, we're talking about it right now. It's almost...
Yeah, no one wants to deal with that elephant, right?
I mean,
it's easier just to, forget it.
And even marriage. I mean, if you think about, like, you know, you've been married how many years now?
I don't know, 40.
40 something, yeah. The elephant in the room, you don't even know. So now I've been married 38 because I just had my anniversary, so I have to remember it.
Yeah.
But the point is I know, like, we have the skill more now to deal with elephants in the room now more than in the early days where how do I bring it up and what am I going to say?
Well, dealing with the relationship issues is hard.
Right.
Most people don't want to go into the hard.
So let's kind of wrap this up with discernment model with Christians.
Okay.
Okay. So first, the personal discernment model, always look where you were on first. So this is summing up a lot of the stuff we talked about earlier.
And this is the hard part because it's easier to blame.
Right.
It's everybody else's fault. It's your wife's fault, your kid's fault, the work fault, the political fault. It's the church's fault, the pastor's fault. But in the beginning, you should start out with, where's my piece in this?
Yes.
I mean, others might be at fault too, but start with your role in this issue.
Confidentially meeting to identify the issues. In some ways, this sounds like a formal thing, but it can apply. So you can, whenever there's an issue, it always should be directly Matthew 18. Go directly to the person.
Yeah.
And then don't talk behind anyone's back.
Right.
Yeah. Do the discernment process with them. And the things we just taught you earlier.
What's the issue?
You know,
what's involved? Who said what?
Yeah.
You know, look at before concluding and trying to resolve it, at least spend a little time together. What is the thing?
Right. Can we talk about the thing? The elephant in the room, maybe.
Yeah.
With permissions of all parties, if needed. Included trusted and confidential personnel. This is like that Matthew 18. If you cannot resolve it, go to the elders of the church.
Right.
But again, with permission.
Right.
With permission, this is really directly from Matthew 18, leaders from the church. Now, really, by this time, you know, most things are resolved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most things can be resolved if you just go directly to the person.
Yes.
If there's a conflict, someone's offended you, said something, did something, didn't do something. Generally, most conflict is based on a misunderstanding.
Right.
Most of it.
Yes.
Not always, but most of the time. And if we go with a humble attitude, you know, what's my part in it? Generally, if you go with a humble attitude and you listen to their side and try to understand them before giving your side, generally, I have found that
the issue goes away. Many times I've gone into there's a church member who's upset with the church or upset with me, and I'll take an elder with me, and before we walk into the house, I'd say, okay, we are going to listen for one half hour before we say anything.
Okay, that's really good
and
advice.
I tell you, probably 8 out of 10 times when we would do that and do it religiously, by the time that half an hour is done, the person is going, yeah, you know, I guess I'm not that, I wasn't mad at you, I was mad at this and this and that. And they start explaining their own situation and their own issue and their own problems.
Right.
And it's amazing. You're just standing there watching it happen. They go from blaming you to either blaming themselves or the real thing comes.
I often find, too, if you listen long enough, whatever they accuse you of, they themselves have a whole life filled with that.
Right.
Right. You know? Right. So if they're really critical, that's how they treat their spouse.
Right.
So if they're critical of you as a ministry leader,
right,
and you listen long enough, you'll come in where you'll hear them, I told Esther that she needs, you know, and then they'll start blaming you, and then you listen long enough, and then finally that truth comes out.
And what I mean by listening is you're listening to such a degree that they have a sense that you understand
them. Hear them.
That you've heard everything that they said. And so repeating, okay, here's what I hear you saying. Is this what you're saying? And then they go, no. Okay, then I need to know more because I really want to understand you. I'm not trying to correct you right now. I'm not trying to enlighten you.
Right.
I am trying to just understand you to the point where you believe I understand you.
You know, I think that when you bring, if it gets to the point where you bring another elder of the church or a leader, this is especially true where you listen. Because to be heard, you know, I brought George here because we really want to know how you're feeling.
Yes.
Okay, now it's just not me, Pastor, but with George or Sarah or whatever, and now you're there and you're listening.
Right. But it's really hard because they say some things that are false.
Yes.
And you want to go
defend yourself.
You want to correct them. But remember, you're just trying to, even if they said something false, well, why did they say something for
right?
I'm curious as to why you said that. You know, I really want to know. Okay, now you'll get your turn after listening long enough. Then it's like, okay, I've tried to understand you. Do you think that I understand you? Yeah, I think you.
Right.
Okay, now could I share my side of the story, and would you try to understand my side of the thing? And then if that person can do that, then we go, okay, we both listen to each other.
And we have identified the issues. And remember, when you share your side, do not be defensive.
Right.
You know. I saw how you looked at that. No. Yeah. It's just like, you know, share how you feel without attacking or defending.
Right.
You know, try to identify the issues.
Right.
Don't try to defend your position.
Right. And then when all said and done, okay, we've listened to each other. What can we do?
Right.
What do you want from me? What can I do for you? How can we fix this?
One more here with unbelievers, lower expectations.
Yes.
I mean, you really do see, and I've seen too, the difference in, you know, being a believer makes a huge difference in the whole discernment process.
Yeah, and understand that, you know, when you're talking to someone, they may not share your worldview.
Right.
What is the goal with the relational discernment process?
Ultimately, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that Christ was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation.
Right. So reconciliation is the goal. And notice, it only happens when men's sins are not counted against them.
Right. Grace.
Okay. Without grace, relationships fall apart.
Right. Love. If you cannot love your brother who you've seen, how can you love God who you have not seen?
Right.
Love, grace, love your neighbor. I mean, relationship, you know, so what motivates relational discernment is love.
Right.
You know, and in reconciliation and bringing people together, You know, relational discernment is not necessarily easy to do.
No.
But the benefits of actually doing this.
Well, and, you know, knowing, like I remember, yeah, I had a lot of conflict with my father. He was a strong,
always
right kind of person. And so I'm the oldest, so we would always end up in some kind of conflict. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen him cry in my life. He was a strong,
fireman.
Kind of person.
He was a fireman.
And, you know, so there was a lot of conflict there. But I remember one day we were fighting about something in the kitchen. I remember it was on the farm, in the kitchen, and we were fighting. And my dad is 6'4", 250 pounds. I'm 5'8".
Right.
You know, he's a huge guy.
What happened to you?
I don't know.
Okay. So, there's an issue in the room.
I remember all of a sudden, he just broke down and cried. I'd never seen him cry ever in my life. And then he started telling me about his father and, you know, really explaining why he was the way he was.
Right.
Because of a relational issue that he had with his father.
Right.
And he didn't want to be his father. He didn't want to be like his father, but he didn't know how to do it any differently.
Right.
Right. So, you know, he didn't change a lot after that, but I did because I now discerned what was behind what he did.
Right.
So the more you know about people and who they are and why they do what they do, it doesn't necessarily take all the issues away.
Right.
But it definitely helps you deal with it in a different way. I saw things in a different light, and that's true about most every relationship. If you really understood someone, where they're coming from, how they were raised, what kind of parents they had, that the difficulties they've been through, okay, I can deal with you then.
Right.
I can handle this dysfunction.
Right.
Because I understand where it's coming. It's coming from hurt.
Yeah.
There's a phrase that says, hurt people hurt people.
Right.
So if you understood their hurt, you'd be able to, you know, deal with it a lot easier. So discernment is a critical piece in the relationships.
Good. So I'm so glad you had an opportunity to join with us, and we pray that God will bring more love into all your relationships as you are relationally discerning things.